Let's take our Bibles tonight and go to the Old Testament book of Ruth. The Old Testament book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. It is so full of picture and just absolutely packed with principle, with truths that can be a blessing. And I want us to look at a couple of these truths tonight. In chapter 1, I'm gonna preach out of chapter 2, but if you will look at chapter 1 for just a moment, you know the story, how that Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two boys had to leave Judah and go down to Moab. While they were there, for years, and while they were there, Naomi's husband died, and then her two boys died. Her two boys had married, and one of the daughters-in-law said that she was not going to stay. She was young, and she was going to go find her another husband. And the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, agreed that she would stay with Naomi. And we have those famous words of chapter 1, verse 16, where she said that I will, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And so they could not make it in Moab. Naomi was getting up in years, and there was, it was a harsh land, a harsh environment. They did not go by the law of Moses, and so they would have starved to death had they stayed in Moab. But we learn at the end of the chapter that Naomi and Ruth came back to Judah. And when the people saw her coming into Bethlehem, and by the way, Bethlehem means the house of bread. Beth is, it means house. And Lehem is bread. And so they came back to Bethlehem, the house of bread, in Judah. Judah means praise. So Naomi returns with Ruth to the house of bread in the land of praise. So things are looking up, and they do very quickly, as you're going to see in just a moment. And when the people saw her coming, they were floored. They could not believe that it was her. And she came back without her husband, Elimelech. She came back without her sons. And she came back with a Moabite whose name was Ruth. And so she told everybody in 1:21, she said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She said, don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara, which means bitter. She came back with nothing. And verse 22 says, and so Naomi returned. All right, now I got a question for you. How are they going to make it in Judah? How are they going to survive? Well, this next chapter tells us how they're going to survive. Look at verse 1. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz means called. Called. Isn't that amazing? His name means called. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." You see, under the law of Moses, there was a little thing that God put in there to provide for people just like Naomi. You know, life can be unfair, can't it? Life can be rough. We hear of someone dying early and it just grieves us. And we wonder sometimes, well, how is the spouse going to make it? How's this mom with a family going to survive without the income of her husband? And God knew that life was sometimes a bit unfair. And so God put a provision in the law, and it is called the law of gleaning. And that allowed someone who was in, like Naomi here, who is up in years, to go into the field of a relative, of a distant relative, a kinsman, someone that she is related to. And that kinsman was to allow her to go into his fields and glean after the harvest had been gathered. And it was hard work, but that provision was there. And so Ruth said to Naomi, now Ruth is a Moabite. So how did Ruth know about this provision in the law? Well, don't forget, in verse 16 of the first chapter, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." You see, she converted from her Moabite religion to Naomi's faith. And Naomi's God became her God. And thus she is now living under God's law. And so she said, "Let me now go and glean ears in the field." Verse 3, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was," her happenstance, her, it just so happened, in other words, that was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, we've already been introduced to him in verse 1. God said that Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side who just happened to be a very wealthy man. His name was Boaz. And so she went out to glean, and it just so happened that the field she chose to glean in belonged to Boaz. Now, here's what happened. Here's what God did. Look at verse 4. "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." Now, can I just stop right here and say, I think his Boaz is a pretty nice fella, don't you? I mean, how many people do you know that would greet someone out in the world today by saying to them, "Hey, God bless you, friend. God be with you, friend." And then they turn around and agree, "Well, the Lord bless you too, sir." I think these guys like Boaz, don't you? Must be a nice guy. And they appreciate the job that he offers. Everything's going well, don't you think? Look at verse 5. "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" So he spots Ruth out in the field, and he says to the man, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even from morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by the maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Let me just stop right here. Look here. Not only is Boaz nice to his employees, but he is nice to this Moabite. You with me? He is, you know, I just think Boaz is a nice guy, don't you? And he says, "Listen, don't go anywhere else. You just stay right here in my field. You get right behind these other ladies that are gleaning. You get right behind them and don't leave them now. You work alongside of them. And don't you worry, my boys that are over here reaping the main harvest, I've told them that when you guys pass each other in the field, there's not to be any catcalls, there's not to be any whistling, there's not to be any flirting, there's not to be, none of that's to go on. You are safe right here, young lady." That's what he's telling her. So she fell on her face, verse 10, bowed herself to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaids." In other words, they're Jews, I'm a Moabite, and yet you've been nice to me, and I appreciate it. Verse 14, and Boaz said unto her, watch, it just gets gooder and gooder, watch. "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not." Now, if anybody else did that, they would have reproached them. They would have said, hey, you're taking what you're not supposed to take. This is these sheaves that we have piled up here. We just harvested those. We haven't knocked the grain off of them yet. And you're not supposed to take that. You're only supposed to take that which was left in the field. Don't be taken from this. In other words, don't reproach her. Let her take what she wants. Man, he's a nice guy. What a nice guy. Verse 16, and let some also, and let me try it again, and let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose for her. And you know what he's telling the reapers there? He's saying, look, guys, when you gather up a bag full of corn and you start to carry it over to the wagon, just pour some of it out on purpose. Handfuls left on the ground on purpose. You with me? What a nice guy. I tell you what. He's amazing, isn't he? I think he got hit with a love bug. That's what I think happened to him. Middle of verse 16. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even and beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? In other words, where'd you get all this, girl? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. All right, I want to preach to you tonight on Ruth gleaning in the fields. Father, bless tonight. I pray you'll help us this evening. May we get something tonight that will be a blessing to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Things had drastically changed for Naomi. In the 10 years that she was gone over in Moab, when she came back into town, all the old people had passed away. And Naomi probably felt like a stranger in her own town. Naomi's own husband had died while she was away, and her sons had passed away. And so when she came home, everything was different. How was an elderly woman and a stranger, a Moabite, going to survive? Ruth came back to Bethlehem with Naomi, but Ruth was a Moabite. So it was certainly going to be a constant struggle for these two to make it from harvest to harvest. How in the world were they going to do it? And it was at this point that Ruth determined she was going to have to step up and provide in whatever way she could for herself and her mother-in-law, or they weren't going to make it from year to year. So how would she do this? Well, she would do this by using a provision in the law of Moses, allowing her to glean in the fields. Now, if you read chapter 1 and feel that you loved Ruth for the character and the compassion that she showed by choosing to cast her lot with Naomi, you are really going to love her now in this second chapter when you read and understand what she does. You see, it was not an easy thing for this Moabite gal to humble herself and to go into the field of a Jewish man and gather what the reapers did not harvest. First of all, it was hard work. Oh, it was not easy to go gleaning in the fields. I mean, a lot of work got you little return. Those men out in that field knew what they were doing. And they pretty well got all of the wheat and all of the barley off the stalks and what was left took a great deal of effort to gather. The sun was hot. It was backbreaking labor to work all day for one sack of wheat. But you know, the amazing thing, and what I noticed as I read this story, is that Ruth did all of this without one word of fussing or complaining about it. She does not come home at the end of the day and gripe for hours on end about how unfair life was for her. There is no record that she sat at dinner and reminded Naomi of how good they had it when they were in the land of Moab and how the fields there seemed to produce so much more wheat than these paltry old fields around Bethlehem. No, there's none of that in the text. She did this work of gleaning without even the slightest bit of complaining. She was glad to do it if that's what she needed to do. She seems to have completely forgotten all about the past, put her pride in her pocket, and set her heart to do the task at hand, gleaning in the fields. Just do the task at hand and let the Lord bless and let the Lord take care of her. That was her attitude. Now, in this beautiful story, there are three little quick things I want to call to your attention. Three little things. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, we are not children of chance, but children of the King. Now, if old Ruth learned anything, she learned that in this chapter. We are not children of chance. We are children of the King. Folks, would you realize that tonight? How many of you know Christ as your Savior? Say amen. Amen. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are a child of the King of kings and Lord of lords. You don't live by chance. She was not sure in whose field she was gleaning. She just went out to the field that Naomi pointed her in, and as she passed through the gates that morning and went out into the fields, she came upon the reapers busy at the harvest. Whose reapers they were, she didn't know. She probably had no clue whose field she was in. She was just told that there was a provision in the law of Moses to provide for widows and for those for whom life had dealt severe blows. And she knew that she and Naomi qualified. If anybody qualified, she knew that she and Naomi qualified. But whose field she chose to enter, she probably had no earthly idea. But she did know it was the Lord God of Israel, or she found out it was the Lord God of Israel who had directed her steps. Folks, it was not fate. It was not a chance. It was not kismet or happenstance that directed her that morning. It was the hand of God Almighty at work in the life of this faithful woman. You see, the truth is, folks, God has a plan for your life and for mine. And you're either in the will of God or you're not in the will of God. But we don't live by fate. We just don't live that way as Christians. You don't need to get up every morning and go to the horoscopes to find out what kind of day you're going to have. You got a God who has a will for your life. As Christians, we need to learn that God does not just sit up in heaven and roll the dice to see what your day holds. There is not a big wheel beside the throne in heaven on God's left hand where God reaches over and spins the wheel to see if you're life's grand prize winner. That's not how Christians function. We don't live by chance, but we live by faith in God Almighty. Folks, do you think it was just a happy chance that Martin Luther found a Bible in a monastery that just happened to change his life and start a reformation? Do you think that was an accident? I don't. Do you think it was just a lucky chance that it snowed one day so bad in London that Charles Spurgeon could not go to his church, so he just turned into a little chapel where only a few folks had gathered because of the weather, but the preacher made it, and the preacher, an old leather-lunged Baptist preacher, stood up and proclaimed the gospel, and Spurgeon got saved that day? Do you think that was just a chance? I don't. Do you think it was just a coincidence that I came out of an elevator in Jacksonville, Florida, and standing in the lobby by the door waiting on a ride to the same church service that I was headed to stood Shelton Smith and we became good friends? I don't think that just happened. I think God was in that. You see, we want to call these things chances, but they are anything but chances when they are directed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They are a part of God's wonderful plan for your life and for mine and for the cause of Christ. And so I say it again, we are not children of chance, we are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Don't forget the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who are for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." But there's a second thing I want you to see from this. I want you to notice the reward of showing kindness to others. You know, I never noticed it before, but when I read this second chapter this week, I realized, wow, Boaz, he was some kind of guy. What a wonderful fella he was. I mean, you know, Ruth began to glean in the field, and after working all morning, she was tired, and no doubt she was not, used to that hard of work and exerting that kind of effort out in the hot sun. So she took a break when the morning was over. And it was about that time that Boaz came up. And the kind-hearted owner of the field had erected a little shelter for folks to rest when the sun got hot and when they took their breaks. Now, you need to realize that he certainly did not have to do that. Now, he didn't have to do that. And out of all the folks that were gleaning, reaping in their fields, I dare say that few of them, if any, other than Boaz, put a shelter up to give folks a little place to get out from under the sun. But being the kind-hearted individual Boaz was, he put up a shelter to allow his servants to get out of the sun when they took a break to rest. And notice how Boaz kindly greeted his men when he came to the field. In verse 4, he said to his reapers, "The Lord be with you." Now, folks, that's just about as nice as a person can be. If he is this nice to the hired help, you can be assured he's going to be kind and nice to Ruth. As I was preparing this week, do you remember Bonanza? Remember Bonanza, old Ben Cartwright and Hoss and all them boys? And Ben Cartwright would talk about the employees that worked for him as hired hands. I don't know why I thought of that, but But anyway, Boaz is nice to the hired hands. The blessing of Boaz shows us that he did not see his reapers, his workers, as hired hands, but he saw them as people, as souls. And you know, the hands did far better work for him reaping out in the hot Middle Eastern sun because Boaz saw them as human beings and saw them as people and saw them as servants. Some of you folks have people that work for you. I hope you'll never forget that each and every one of them is a soul that Jesus died for, just like he died for you. And so when Boaz saw this stranger gleaning in his field, what was his reaction? Well, right away, he noticed that she was a foreigner, a stranger, and was not originally from Judah or from Bethlehem. And so he asked one of his men, "Who is that? I don't recognize her." And that was when Boaz learned that she was the maiden who had accompanied Naomi back home after her husband and sons had died in Moab. And he realized that he was, through marriage, a distant relative to her. And again, because he was a kind man by nature, his kind heart kicked in and he thought that he would be nice. And that's exactly what he did. Folks, every verse in this wonderful second chapter speaks to us of Boaz's kind heart. When you read this chapter, you cannot help but see that this man's kind heart just pouring out of him, out of every detail that is revealed about what happened here. And that leads me to my third point. Kindness will always lead to thoughtfulness. Let that sink into you. Kindness will always lead to thoughtfulness. Look at verse 8 and 9. Boaz walks up to Ruth and he says, "Ma'am, you are more than welcome in my field. You are more than welcome. Feel free to glean as much as you want and to get as much as you can." But look at the thoughtfulness that came out of his kindness. You see, when the gleaners came, men would glean in one place and the women in another. Boaz told her, "Now you go with the women. Just get in there and hang with the women that are gleaning and you glean your little heart out. I mean, you have my fullest blessing to gather all you can gather." But notice also he told her that he has ordered his men to leave her alone. How thoughtful was that? Boaz told his men they were not to be doing any catcalling, no whistling, no flirting. He said, "I told the men to leave you alone." Oh, the thoughtfulness of this man. But also notice the spiritual insight of this man. Look at verse 11 and 12. Boaz was so kind and so thoughtful because he felt it was God's will that Ruth had been led into his care. Look at verse 11. In verse 11 it says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, 'It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.'" Man, Boaz is so kind, so thoughtful, because he felt it was God's will that Ruth had been led into his care. In verse 14, he told her to come into the mess hall and eat her meals. He said, "You just go right on in and act like you own the place." I mean, did he give this privilege to the other women who were gleaning in the field? It doesn't appear that he did, but he did for Ruth. She was kind, considerate, and compassionate to his distant relative who had a need, and he was going to return the favor and be kind to her. But look at verse 16. He provided another act of kindness for her. He told the men, he said, "Now, fellas, while you're reaping here, I want you just every now and then to take some handfuls of grain and on purpose leave it for her." All she had to do was just take her little hands and scoop it up and put it in her sack. Wow. That's pretty kind. Hey, Christian, why don't you go out this week and just try what Boaz did here. Just remember this chapter as you go out this week and think it just a crying shame to let Boaz beat you in the kindness department. Can you imagine what a difference that might make? If we would just show a little kindness to someone else. Go at kindness with a sense of urgency. And show kindness with an understanding of the marvelous kindness of that loving God who sent his only begotten Son from heaven to be your Savior and your kindest friend. But then lastly, I want you to notice the blessing that kindness brings to others. Boaz was kind to Ruth. And in the last few verses of this chapter, Ruth went home with the day's bounty. And she was so happy and so thrilled with herself and with Boaz and with God who had blessed her and her mother-in-law. Now, folks, get your mental pictures working, okay? I want you to picture Ruth dragging that bag of wheat to the house. I want you to look at her. Do you see her in your mind's eye? She's all business. Oh, she's got the sweat running down her brow. She is exhausted. She's been out in that sun all day. And she is dragging that bag of wheat up the sidewalk. And she gets to the door, throws the door open, does her best to take one more tug, and she pulls it through the door. The look of all business on her face. She takes one glance to see if anybody's watching. When she sees no one, she shuts the door behind her. And when the door is shut, all of a sudden she starts jumping up and down. "Naomi, get in here. You're not going to believe this. I've got to show you something. I've got to tell you something. You are not going to believe what happened to us today." And she's jumping up and down with excitement. Oh, she's exhausted. Sweat's pouring off her forehead, but she can't contain her joy. And then there's old Naomi. And she hadn't jumped in years. But she looks down and sees that bag of wheat after one day. She looks at Ruth's face and sees the joy and excitement in Ruth's face and sees Ruth jumping up and down. And now all of a sudden Naomi's jumping up and down. She's excited, not even sure what she's excited about, but she's excited. You see, one person's kindness brings a blessing to someone else. I mean, you just might make somebody's day with a little kindness, and then by making that person's day, you may make someone else's day. I mean, probably I can just see them celebrating together. Both of them were no doubt filled with praise to the Lord for providing them with enough grain to last them through the winter. I can hear Ruth unable to sleep that night. And she says, "Naomi, are you still awake?" And she goes, "Yes, I'm still awake. I'm too excited to sleep." And Ruth says, I got to tell you about Boaz. I've just got to tell you about Boaz. And probably both of them unable to sleep. Ruth gave Naomi every single detail of the day and every word that Boaz spoke to her. And folks, you know the rest of the story, don't you? Oh, eventually Ruth and Boaz get married, and then in the fullness of the time, the Lord Jesus would be born from that family that got its start in the barley fields through the unselfish kindness of one man. Wow. You just never know where a little bit of kindness is going to lead in life. Let's learn through this man's life how far a little kindness might go. Dr. George Truett pastored in Dallas, Texas for many years, back in the early 1900s. George Truett was a great preacher, great man of God. And he had a radio broadcast that went all over Dallas, all over Dallas. Everybody listened to Dr. Truett every morning on the radio. And every morning, he used to end his radio broadcast by saying the same line. Every morning, he would say, folks, be kind to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. And that's how he went off the air every day. We have all seen people blow up at waiters and waitresses in restaurants. We have all seen people just lose it at the stoplight. And what we need to do is take it day by day, just look for ways to show kindness. I mean, everybody's having a hard time. Everybody. And maybe, just like Boaz, we will find that our kindness brings some wonderful rewards and wonderful blessings.